Hey, this is Haley.
And this is Heather.
And you're watching the Whodunit Sisters, a Kansas City true crime podcast. Today's episode is on Tyra Brown, who on April 17th, 2016, took her cousin to a party where a fight broke out and she ended up getting shot, dying 9 days later. You're about to see the interview we had with Tyra's mom, who gave us a more in-depth detail of what happened. And we're hoping that it will bring, you know, more tips to help solve the case because everyone knows who did it. We just need more information on it. So thanks for watching.
Thanks.
My name is Tasha and my daughter was Tyra. She was 19 years old when she passed away. Tyra was a ball of energy, joy. She was a people person. Even more so than we ever realized. When she passed, we really got to see just how much she loved people and they loved her. Before she passed, she was in college. She wanted to be a nanny. She had recorded several songs. That was her favorite pastime to sing. So she recorded like 4 songs. One of my favorites is called Beautiful. It just encourages people to know that they're beautiful. It doesn't matter what they've been through. You know, God sees them beautiful.
Don't sweat it. Everybody ain't perfect, no. Just be yourself. You know your heart is gold. Don't let nobody tell you different. Everything you do has a purpose.
Was a very active in church because I've raised my kids in church all their life. So she has done praise dance. She's done flag dancing. She sang on the praise team with me. Anything in church she's tried. But yeah, she was just so bubbly and joyful. And even thinking about her puts a smile on my face now. She had the greatest laugh, like the greatest laugh ever. And she just enjoyed life, even as a young age. Like, she just enjoyed having fun and being around her family and friends. Yeah, that's pretty much her. She was working at a daycare when she passed and a clothing store because my daughter also loved clothes. I'm guilty of passing that on to her. So she was a great girl. Like, I'm just super blessed that I was able to be her mother. Like I said, especially after witnessing her funeral, there was over 600 people at the funeral.
Wow.
We had to literally cut people off from coming up, giving their stories about her visiting them when they were sick, sending text messages when she felt like they was discouraged or feeling down, people from just school, where she worked, just in the community from school, from college and high school. But that was just so great for me to see. And just to witness seeing all those people come in and saying that, I was just like, dang, God, and you blessed me to be her mother. I really had an angel. I was living with an angel because I could not believe all the people and all the things that she was saying. And I was like, my daughter at 17 was going to, she would see people missing for church for weeks and she would show up at their house.
Your daughter was rare.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my goodness. I just couldn't believe it. And because of that, once she passed, they started a Tyra Tuesday, which friends and family just would wear yellow. They would put one of their favorite memories or how she touched their lives up on social media. And they continued to share her. And even, I mean, it's been 7 years. It was 7 years this year. But even still, I still get on social media sometimes and somebody has her picture up talking about they were thinking about her, you know, how much they miss her. But yeah, she was something. And then about what happened, right? So on April 16th, that was the last day I saw my daughter. One of her close friends went to prom. She went over, you know, hyped her up. We took pictures, but then she asked if she could go eat with her cousin, which is my cousin's son. And they normally hang out on the weekend. They were going to IHOP That night, he got a call from his girlfriend. He did not drive. So he got a call from his girlfriend that there was a party. He asked my daughter, would she take, if she could take him? And she did, which was like on 45th Street, somewhere she had never been. Because we live in the Overland Park, Kansas. She had never been in that area. But he went in the party. She stayed outside. She ended up seeing a friend of hers that she knew. They was conversating, but then a fight broke out outside of the party. People just started shooting everywhere, and she got hit by a stray bullet.
Oh, man.
Yep, she was just sitting in a car, wasn't even in the party, waiting for my, you know, my cousin to come out. And then he got up. I think someone went inside and said they were shooting, and they think Tyra was still outside. So he called my niece, who then called me and was like, we think Tyra got shot. And I remember I was asleep because it was like 2-something in the morning, which was normally the time she would come home on the weekend from hanging out with my cousin. And so I just went to bed assuming she would come home. But for some reason, my ringer was off that night. I don't know how it got off, but like, I don't know how, you know, how much y'all believe in God, but it was like the spirit pushed me over and I looked down and my phone was blinking, like ringing, and I picked it up. It was my niece. She was like, we think Tyra's been shot. But I passed out. That's all I heard that. Then I jumped up, called her back and asked where it was. I drove to the area to where the party was, because I know where I grew up down in that area. I drove there. They was like, the person has been transported to the hospital. I thought I would go in the hospital, see my daughter laying in the bed, maybe shot in the arm, leg. We got to the hospital, could not see her. It was maybe an hour or so. They kept asking, what did she have on? We need to make sure. Do you have ID? I'm like, she was driving. She got her own purse. I don't have ID. Last I saw her, she had on black pants and a white shirt. You know, so they held us in a room trying to make sure we were there for the right person. And I guess it was because somebody drove her to the hospital and dropped her off at the emergency room door. They didn't take her in. They just dropped her off at the emergency room door.
That wasn't a friend?
No. The friend had gotten out of the car. So I guess it was somebody that just wanted to help her but was scared. I don't know. You know, we don't know all the details. But I mean, I'm grateful that at least they took her to the emergency. Yes. And didn't just leave her in the car. So they did. They dropped her off. So, it, you know, after calming down, we understood it was a security reason why they was trying to make sure it was really who we was looking for. When we finally got to the room, my husband said she was moving. I never saw that. That was the last time she ever moved. Because when I saw her in there with her head bandaged up, I passed out again. So I never got to see her move her, you know, her last movement. But yeah, she had got shot in her head. We spent 9 days in the hospital. And then finally she passed after the 9 days. That was the worst 9 days of my life. It really was. It was the worst 9 days of my life. At the time, I had my oldest daughter was in South Africa studying abroad for college. We had to tell her sister had been shot, get her back. My son was 12 or 13, just all of trying to figure all of that out. We had left him home by himself. My sister had to come get him. He's wondering what's going on. It was tough. It was very tough. Yeah, and after 9 days on April 26th, she passed.
So there was a lot of people at that party who witnessed this, I'm sure.
A lot of people, yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of names that was given to the police. One in particular that the police feels like it was him that did it, but because so many bullets, they couldn't pinpoint it on him. And because nobody would come forth and be like, I saw him shoot the gun, they couldn't, you know, say it was him. The guy that we found out who dropped her off at the hospital, he ended up getting arrested for something else. He's in jail out of town. And so I had asked if they would interview him. Because I'm like, okay, if you were out there, you were close enough to see that she got shot,
right,
which means you probably was in the shooting. You probably know exactly who shot, you know, the gun that shot. But I'm like, could you just ask him a question? They would not, because he's in another jurisdiction or another state, they couldn't ask him questions about the case that was going on here. And I'm like, that just did not make
sense. Sound right.
To me.
That's, yeah, that's not.
It didn't make sense to me.
Mm-mm. Might as well ask them while they have them, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Y'all have him in there. I mean, he's going to be in there. Just ask him some questions. But they wouldn't. And then my sister, she found one of the young ladies, the house at the party was. She had put up a post. This may have been a few years ago that I'm so sorry. She put a picture of my daughter up. I'm so sorry that this happened to you. I feel so bad. I feel so guilty because it was her house. So my sister started digging and asking the girl questions, and she gave her a lot of information. My sister then went straight to the detective, screenshotted everything the young lady said and the guy's name that everybody was saying that they think did it. That's when the detective was like, yeah, he has a rep for crime, for shooting. We just had let him out of jail or something during the time, and it very well could be, but because nobody came up and said, I saw him shooting the gun, they would not question him. Yeah, none of it made sense. The Kansas City police were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They were not helpful at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at all. And my sisters was digging. My brother-in-law, he lived out of town. He came, he went to the house. They got all kind of information, but they still didn't follow up on a lot of the stuff. You know, it's just, we found out a lot of things just from the street. And then right. We would try to take it to them, and they would, you know, discredit some of the things we were saying, like, well, that's not good. But I'm like, you can't even question the people. I never could understand that. Like, you won't even question them to find out if something will lead to something else. The last thing that they told me was because it was so many bullets, so many casings, that there was no way that they would be able to figure out exactly who did it. That still is a tough pill to swallow. I just feel like they didn't do enough.
Did they ever say how many shooters there were?
They never told us. They did tell me it was upward to 100 casings they had found.
Mm-hmm.
What's so crazy is my daughter's the only one that got shot.
Are you serious?
Serious. She was driving my car. And yeah, I was like, I cannot. The people was gracious to let us retire. I was like, there's no way I can drive that far. But yeah, it was when we went back to get the car, there was, well, we went to see, because I just was like, I just want to see there were still cars that had holes all in them. So it was like a big shootout. And one of my cousins that lived nearby, he said he heard it. And he said it seemed like the gunfire never stopped. Like I said, my daughter, that wasn't even her crowd. That's why she was outside. Mm. My cousin was inside. She had never even been. I'm like, 45th and Kensington? How did you even know how to get there? I mean, and when me and my husband drove there, because my husband didn't even know how to get there. He was like, we both were a nervous wreck, but he was like, you know how to get there. I don't. Because they've never been. I grew up down there, but I moved my kids to Overland Park for those very reasons. The city just was bad. It was bad when I was little, but it had gotten worse. And I didn't want my kids to grow up like this. But when they told me, when my little cousin finally told me it was a party, he asked for a ride. And he still suffers to this day. I feel so bad for him because he feels like it's his fault. And mm-hmm. I keep trying to tell him it's not his fault. He had no idea that right. was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, but he's just like, if I never would have asked for a ride, and I'm like, but it's still not your fault. You did not know. Right. You didn't know. Yeah. But we've tried several. One guy, the guy that she was talking to in the car, the police did question him several times. And so as of 2 years ago, they did put a warrant. Well, if he got stopped, they would question him again. Because when the new guy's name came up, I did ask, well, can you call him in? They was like, no. But if he ever gets stopped by the police, they will question him about that guy.
And you guys have done everything right. So you guys did most of the investigation yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You turned over the information that you had received.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so frustrating. And I am so sorry that the system is failing you guys.
Because once you have the key players, it seems like it would be, you know, pretty easy. But
that's what I thought. That is what I thought. When the young lady gave the name and the detective was like, yeah, so many people gave his name. And I was thinking, okay, this is it. Like, you're going to get this guy, question him. We're going to be able to, but no. And so, unfortunately, what I did, I had to just turn that stuff over because it was eating me.
Right.
Still had two other children. I'm, you know, still trying to be a mom to them. So I was just like, God, you can get them better than I can. I would love for my daughter to get justice. But just going and listening to those police officers and detectives, it just was like, it really didn't matter enough to them. And I did ask them, I said, but if it was your child, what would you be doing? Would you be trying everything you could, asking anybody? I just was like, no, because I would never want another mother to go through what I'm going through. I would never want another family to have to experience what we're experiencing now.